This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we got more to get to with the Braves, who right now, they don't have that loving feeling. They're not scoring runs. It was ugly in the against the Padres this weekend. We're going to talk with Grant McCauley coming up a little bit later on this hour. But as we get rolling here in the 5 o'clock hour, and thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show, Mike, is it inevitable that Kirk Cousins is going to the Browns? A lot of people think that that is the case, and I have to be clear here. We do not know if it's inevitable. There's evidence, and obviously we're connecting all the dots. John Fricke, who's going to be on the night, hit me up over the weekend. He was like, what are you hearing? And I told him, look, this is what I'm hearing in Cleveland. The fact of the matter is that, yes, he was out at a couple of restaurants and took some pictures. Mike, that doesn't necessarily mean that him and Kevin Stefanski are once again going to be reunited.
Right.
I think we just need to be careful when we say it's inevitable. Would we like for it to happen? Yeah, because we want resolution. But as the coaches are meeting down there in Palm Springs, the bottom line is, guys, this is one of the storylines that's going on around the NFL. And everybody is just kind of saying, oh, well, he was in Cleveland or the Cleveland area, and he knows Stefanski, and all this stuff adds up. They did trade for, or at least acquire, Kenny Pickett. But that's not going to be their starter.
No.
Mike, they have the number two overall pick in the draft. They have options.
Now, again, what does the owner Haslam saying that, yeah, we blew it, no blank Sherlock with Deshaun Watson, he came out and said that in an interview, have to do with what they're going to do? Would you feel, see, this goes back to all of this, is it real information, misinformation? Does everyone just simply just have Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders 1-2? And then just clear, I mean, just stop with this. Go get your reset, get a breath of fresh air, get Sanders, get him in there, let him lead, and eventually you eat the hit like the Broncos did with Russell Wilson year with Deshaun Watson, and just adios. But maybe that's not their plan. I don't know. Kirk Cousins, I mean, it concerns us. If potentially Aaron Rodgers is serious about going to Minnesota, a story that he's, you know, he's playing catch, as you said, with DK Metcalf, I mean, we could potentially maybe get more leverage with the Steelers. You maybe feel that they thought Aaron Rodgers is on the altar, then he leaves him, and then maybe we could get a trade for something. There was an article from Bill Barnwell today at ESPN, and a lot of our guys, you said, guys are killing me. Don't kill the messenger.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you what an ESPN.
They were like, Mike, I don't want a seventh-round pick.
Well, that might be all we can get for Kirk Cousins, because everyone doesn't believe that we're actually intending on taking him to the season with us, let alone camp, Carl. But Bill Barnwell was saying we would basically eat $25 million of the $37 million. The Browns would pay 12, or Titans would actually, he had the Titans making this deal. The Titans would eat $12 million of the contract and only give us a seventh rounder. That's where he's, now look, Bill Barnwell's a pretty good guy in the NFL for being dialed in. You buy any of that?
I buy the potential of the deal. I buy, you know, people laying out what could potentially happen. I just need to see how this is going to shake out. And that's right now where we're at with this. You know, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Do I buy that he may want to be with the Vikings, or that's his choice over the Steelers? Well, yeah, because if he really wanted to be with the Steelers, Mike, he would have made the choice already.
Right.
So I do think he's leaving his options open. But the fact that he was seen at UCLA throwing to DK Metcalf, as Chris brought up, listen, I find that interesting because he hadn't been anywhere except on a beach where they took a picture of him and said he was contemplating his future. The Vikings are in an awkward position, simply because they have a quarterback that they drafted. They say they believe in him, but yet they're leaving the door open for this potentially to happen, and that is that Aaron Rodgers could come. So this domino has to fall before others do, but the Cousins thing, I just don't think it's inevitable. Like, oh, it's going to happen. It's a no-brainer. Not quite yet.
Yeah, and I know that we first things I think most Falcon fans driving home right now, they want to get a pick for this draft. I mean, we want to have, and again, when's the last time you got excited, Carl, about picking up a fifth rounder?
That's the point. I mean, the guys were like, Mike, I don't even know what you're talking about. Mike read the Barnwell report.
Again, guys, it's on ESPN. It's not behind a paywall, okay? I mean, don't, I'm just telling you. The value for Kirk Cousins, some teams may give us, because if they're desperate, Carl's always said, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you always felt we'll play poker through the month of June, right? Maybe into July. And then at some point, if we don't get any traction, then we'll just cut him. And some teams are probably just waiting for us to cut him. They don't have to give us anything. That's always been my opinion.
One of our good followers, follow us, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. He says, Dukes, what? I thought the goal was to win as many games as possible. I think we're going to keep him. He's talking about Cousins. Okay, but even if you keep him, he's not winning games for you. Guys, he's our backup. You've already heard Raheem Moore say at the Combine, there will be no competition. There is no quarterback competition. You're going into camp. Mike, hell, when we start, once the draft is done and these guys start reporting for the mini camps and all the things that they got, it is Michael Penix who will be throwing the rock, first team guys.
Right. And then we'll figure any one of those other, you know, dudes that are going to be out there. You got guys, there's like a dozen of these guys, quarterbacks. I know that last year there was a concerted effort, whether it came from ownership or the coach simply wanted one guy, and the general manager said, we will never draft so low, let's get another quarterback. We're never going to be as stacked as we were last year. I just think that I thought that was a silly move just on principle. But do you feel we're going to get somebody like, you know, Jameis already signed? I mean, who's it going to be? Just one of these guys, like a Gardner, did Minshew sign somewhere, Chris? I mean, there's like so many guys. Yeah, he signed with the Kansas City Chiefs to back up Mahomes.
Oh, that's right, he did.
So you're running out of guys that have been starters, at least if you really care about a backup who's got some experience.
All right, what do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Coaches' meetings going on, as we talked about. They do this every year, guys.
Why did Ron miss the picture?
Well, the plane ran into some weather issues, and so it delayed him getting there.
Where is
Raheem? So that's why he was not in the coach's picture. He was the only coach not to be pictured there, for those who saw that photo. And you were like, hey, that's pretty cool. Where's Ra? But they ran into some weather issues. So listen, it happens. You run into issues at the airport and there's nothing you can do. And he wasn't flying commercial. With that said, Mike, a couple of things going on. Tush push has been a big conversation. As a matter of fact, they asked Nick Sirianni about it. He was like, I hope they don't ban it. So do you think when we find out here over the next day, maybe this evening, that the tush push is going to be banned? Because the NFL has already changed the flex scheduling for Thursday Night Football to help Thursday night get better games. So they said, look, we're going to cut the time down that we're able to flex these games. Instead of 28 days, it's going to be 21. It doesn't mean necessarily anything to you, but all you need to know is that we're probably going to get better games.
Right. Now, a 21-day window to flex, certainly, and I joked around with Carl, because the first year of Amazon football on Thursday night was god-awful.
It was awful.
Games.
It was.
And then if you don't think there's any correlation with the NFL trying to beef it up, and there was, and the games got a lot better the last couple of years, but now you're going to have a chance for better games later in the year. I just hate Thursday night football because it's the worst thing for teams, unless you're coming off a bye. You've got a shorter work week. Guys are never, especially Carl, late, like weeks 10 through 17, you're never rested, right?
No.
So now, and you got injuries, and that's a concern, but they want to get the better product for the big partner of theirs in Amazon, so there it is. As far as the tush push, look, these guys came up with a play. They make it work. To me, it's un-American to take somebody who cares. You know what? Look, I got an idea. We got a quarterback who can leg press a Volkswagen. Let's get him behind our guys, and the refs, you know, they've kind of started to swallow their whistle when running backs. This sort of started the last couple of years.
Yeah.
The NFL created this by letting the play kind of extend. You remember that forward progress would be stopped? Well, they kind of let things go a little bit. Now you've got this great idea they've come up with. They make it work. And because, why? Is it ego amongst offensive coordinators that they can't say, all right, my quarterback doesn't have that leg strength of Jalen Hurts, but I got a great running back, I got a tight end, I got guys I can put in that are great athletes, a good wide receiver, and I can make this work. And the other thing, they're trying to cite statistics about player safety. There's no proof to say this increases injury risk.
No.
So it's just basically nobody wants to rip off the Eagles in a copycat league. I can't understand this. Now, the play's ugly aesthetically, but it works.
You know what else I'd like to see him look at, or at least change, Mike? Is let's go back to the onside kick rules. This is such weak sauce.
I know.
Where you have to, we've got to notify you that we're going to kick an onside kick. The beauty of the onside kick, and I got to give, like, you know, Sean Payton and the Saints credit to this in the Super Bowl, Mike, is the unpredictability of it. Like, you never knew when it was going to happen, and you had to guard against it. You had to be ready. You had to be coached up. I do not like the new onside kick rules, and it's something else that I hope they look at and the coaches are talking about. Like, this makes no sense. I'm down through 2 points in a game. I need the field goal to win,
right,
and now I've got to notify you. Guys, you're not recovering these onside kicks. It's like 5%, if
look,
that.
If you're down a touchdown, they're going to onside kick. And by the way, in case you're wondering, Carl, the recovery rate for the kicking team used to be, before they made the rule change, was 16.4%. Since we've gone to the current style, it's down to 8.6.
Nothing.
So basically, it's a long shot. We know that. The other thing they're going to go with is the kicking team now, if you don't kick it to the team, they get the ball at the 35. So they're going to try to get you to put the ball between the 10 and the goal line.
Okay.
But then you're going to have – now, remember, the guys are all facing each other 5 yards apart. They're trying to get the kick returns going again because they know they overcorrected in the guise of player safety.
All right, man. But there's a lot happening down there. And again, you know, they'll continue to look at all the things. I think one of the most interesting things, you know, that we've learned here is Mike Tomlin was grilled about this Aaron Rodgers thing. Mm. And he was basically saying, look, there's no deadline to sign him. Kind of there is, isn't there?
Well, I mean, when do you want to get rolling on this one? I mean, yes, mini camps, technically, and organized team activities, which Aaron doesn't attend anyway, don't really start, Carl.
He's going back to the pyramids?
Yeah, well, that's a one-in-a-lifetime shot. But, I'm not sure how this works in Pittsburgh. He's, you know, as you said, UCLA, and, I mean, how they find him? He's throwing to DK Metcalf. So just noticed?
I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers on campus?
Yeah, look, does that look like Aaron Rodgers? I mean, who knows?
I'm just curious. And Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of Minnesota, talking to ESPN.com, their reporter, basically said, hey, I still like J.J. McCarthy, but I think they feel that Aaron Rodgers puts them over the top where they were last year. If they beat the Lions, they win the division. They're the number one seed. They didn't. Sam Darnold pooped the bed in that game, and he pooped the bed against L.A.
Yeah, he did. All right, we'll see how this all shakes out, but more info coming out of the meetings, and we'll see where it goes. Hey, guys, coming up, Grant McCauley's going to join us. There is a potential story that we're watching. We'll fill you in on this, but we like to be accurate on this show, and certainly we don't rush to judgment. But we'll tell you about that. Also, we will get back into our Hawks conversation because the defensive rookie or the defensive player of the year, should I say, should be Dyson Daniels. But I don't know if he's going to win it. Mike and I had a great conversation with Mike Conti about this earlier in the show. And then the rookie of the year should be Zachary Richache. He's coming on. He had a career high last night. A really good outing for the Hawks as they beat the Bucks. So we'll get back into that coming up here as well.
Yeah, man. The rumor that's out there, you're going to be like, you got to be kidding me. And we will talk to Grant about the Bats can't stay this cold all season, Carl.
I hope not.
Usually we wait till the best of five series for the Bats to get that cold.
Hey, man, you want to go see Ghost? Yeah, we got tickets for you. I told you we would. You've been hanging around. Just listening to the show. Thank you for listening. 404-726-0929. Ghost is going to be at State Farm Arena July 11th. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. You want a pair right now? Caller 5 is going to win them. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
We got a rumor that we got to address. Before we do, I do want to tell you guys, and we've been saying this, all these private workouts and stuff the Falcons are at. So, Mike, you know I've said, we better not draft an offensive lineman. But Calvin Banks may be the best left tackle in this draft.
Uh-huh.
Played for Texas. Had a private workout with the Atlanta Falcons.
Private workout.
Terry Fontenot, head coach Raheem Morris, were in attendance last week in Austin.
Right.
Strip sack. So remember at the combine, we're not looking at any offensive players.
It's all defense. Matter of fact, we're not even going to interview offensive players because we have to convince our fan base that it's all about defense in a very, I don't know, silly window dressing move. I said at the time, but yeah, you still look at the best players available, Carl.
Because right.
You never know. There's supposed to be a run on O-lineman before we pick, by
correct.
The way.
Correct. So, I just got to tell you guys, this, you talk about, okay, listen, Jake's getting long in the tooth. We love him. He's durable as hell. But if this dude falls to 14 or 15, this gets back to plan B or C. Now, I am not, it's not what I want. But I'm just telling you, Banks had a private workout, and our general manager and our head coach were there in Austin, okay? So with that said, Just know they are looking at offensive players. Right.
And, of course, you knew they were.
Okay?
You knew they were going
to. All right. I know that was a big deal for us because we were talking about it.
And you have to certainly be available or aware of all the people that are around where you're going to pick. Because if nothing else, if you're going to trade down, you create a sense of interest in a guy that maybe you're not necessarily interested in to get someone to come and give you something.
Yeah.
You know, it's all poker, right? A lot of mock drafts really dig us with Shamar Stewart. A lot of mock drafts also feel Mykel Williams. If we like him, we'll be there. By the way, a couple of guys hit us up on the text line saying, why couldn't we run like our own tush push? Well, you got to have some big dudes. Eagles have got the best offensive line in football. The Falcons have a good moving forward offensive line, right? With Neusel, because remember, he'll be the center, I guess. We certainly love Bergeron, and we like Lindstrom. I just thought of it. What about if we ever did our own version of it before they ban it? Using Tyler Allgeier as the guy with good leg strength to push the ball over the line.
It's a good point, Mike. And you've seen other teams attempt it. The Ravens did this with their tight end.
Right.
Right? Andrews was the guy who would come in and they'd move Lamar out and he'd take it and they'd drive it 2 or 3 yards and get the first down. We'll see what the league does as far as how the coaches vote on this thing. But, yeah, that is interesting. Mm. I just wanted to point that out, guys, because they are – and that's not the only private workout they've been to. I'm just pointing that out to say that is a top 5 to 10 pick potentially – maybe the best left tackle in this draft. And, again, if he falls there, maybe they feel like, hey, that's a guy that we end up taking. All right, let's talk about this rumor. And I want to be clear, so please hear me. It's a rumor. But a gentleman named Mike Rodriguez, who claims he's an MLB insider, he is a broadcaster and former analyst for the Chicago Cubs in Spanish, has reported, Mike, that the Braves may have to deal with something. And let me repeat, this is a rumor. But according to his sources, he is saying that Profar has tested positive for some substance banned by MLB and will eventually be suspended.
Oh, boy.
So our Braves are in L.A. tonight. Here's the other kicker to this. And this is, again, you know, trying to connect the dots and say, okay, well, why would we do that? What's going on? The Braves today traded for a guy named Stuart Fairchild.
Who?
Stuart Fairchild, traded for cash considerations. He hit 8 home runs, according to Turtle and our executive crack staff. Mm-hmm. With Cincinnati, was it last year? Cincinnati.
Right.
So you sign and trade for a guy for cash considerations, Mike, with maybe this looming out there. Now, again, rumor. Nobody of credible MLB source has justified this. The Braves certainly haven't said anything about it. But if this is in fact true, we're talking about a substantial suspension.
Yeah, that's usually a half a season
at least. So we want to be clear that this is out there. We know people are talking about it on social media, and you guys know there's a lot of times that this stuff is not necessarily true. But we want to be clear about where we stand until we get it, clarified. And certainly somebody that of the Braves organization or another source in MLB says, hey, this is true, we will tell you that. But right now, it is just rumor.
Now, again, if you're like me, I had to go look up who is Mike Rodriguez. As Carl said, he is a Chicago broadcaster. He handled the Spanish language broadcast for a time for Chicago, for the Cubbies, and he does have a Dominican sister, just a kid with a Dominican flag from the Dominican. So I don't know if he's dialed in or he's got sources. But either way, we haven't seen it from, as you said, the Buster Olneys or the Jeff Passons or the guys that, you know, you'd be, okay, that's a guy that I know is going to lock it in. But either way, they do make a roster move, and you have De La Cruz as the other backup, right, as far as the outfield corner position.
Yes,
right
you do, now. Until Acuna comes back. And this is this was all, again, we knew the outfield was going to be adjusted. But, you know, you still need guys. Look, I don't want to go down.
And we got Verdugo. I forgot about Verdugo.
Oh, we do. That's right. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because I don't want to get myself all in a tizzy, Mike, if, in fact, this is not true. If it is, we'll certainly deal with it. And it's going to be something that the Braves are going to have to overcome because, again, we spent some really good money on Profar, and he's looked really good in the spring. But nevertheless, that is out there, and we just want to make sure that you guys know that we know. But I cannot tell you right now with clarity that this is absolutely truth.
But this is what's wrong with social media. Now, again, if it maybe it gets proven to be true, okay. But automatically, you got everyone and their uncle jumps in. Well, that's why you had 280 last year. That's how we got – that's why the teams weren't going to – I don't know, guys. I don't know. Look, it was a good deal for us. The price was right, and you're betting on this guy continuing at the clip he played for last year for the Padres. I don't know anything about Jurickson Profar before we signed him, other than he had a nice year last season. So I'm not going to rush to judgment.
No.
If this gets verified, if we find out from MLB, then okay. It's just it's a hell of a terrible way to start the season if it's true, with it getting swept by the Padres and losing one of your nice acquisitions in the offseason for half the season if it's accurate.
Yes. And so here's the part about this, and this is funny. If you just randomly wanted to take a spin at this and say, hey, I'm going to put something out there and just get people to respond, and it is random. The fact that he's connected at least to the Cubs and worked for, you know, maybe some folks in Major League Baseball, whatever his situation is. But, Mike, he tagged all the major players that would report something like this.
Right. So what's his agenda? What's going on?
Well, as we were talking about as a show, more times than not, if you do something like this, you're simply saying, hey, when you guys report it because you have a bigger following than I do, I would like to get the credit for this if, in fact, when it goes down. That's the only reason you would tag all of these guys. But I would tell you this, if you were some crazy nut job out there, you also probably wouldn't tag the top guys who cover the sport to just say, hey, I want you guys to know this. I think Mike Rodriguez, and by the way, he's been retweeted and stuff over the years by some of these guys that we're talking about. So take it with a grain of salt. We'll see what happens, but nothing from the Braves officially, and I just want to be careful about saying this about Profar if it is not true, but that is the rumor that is out there that allegedly he tested positive for some substance banned by MLB and may be suspended.
But as we said, that's why it's – and it's funny, we had the same conversation last week. If we don't talk about it, you guys get mad at us because the guys are hitting us up on the text line and on social media.
Yep.
And a lot of Braves fans are saying, hey, what's up with this? So that's all we know. We don't know who Mike Rodriguez is. His bona fides are he did the Spanish language broadcast with the Cubs for a couple seasons. That's who he is.
All right, guys. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley about our Braves because we got things we've got to figure out. Specifically at the plate. And when you don't hit, right, it's contagious. When you do hit, it's contagious. And in this particular series against the Padres, that was part of our issue. The other part was when we got guys on, we just stranded them. I mean, you weren't getting guys home. So we'll get into this with Grant, and then we'll turn the page. I'll tell you what's funny, Mike. I'm looking at all this stuff, and it says, make sure you watch the Braves take on Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers. I'll be honest, it still feels weird.
Yeah.
It just does. Seeing that with Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers, it's still, I know they won a World Series, and he's been the MVP and all that, World Series MVP, but it still feels weird to see that.
You know, it's funny. I just saw an article about this. I didn't have time for it in Guy Talk, but needless to say, some of the top-selling jerseys in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. You got Ohtani. You got Betts. You got Freddie Freeman. He cracks the top 10. I think Ronald Acuña comes in at number 9 right now, by the way, in MLB uniform sales.
Listen, I'm not surprised. Mike, they are – not only are they good, but they have star power. This is a team that everywhere they're going to go – listen, the Dodgers and the Yankees, they always sell out anyway, Mike, just based on the fact that they're the Dodgers and Yankees. But when the Dodgers and Yankees are really good and they have stars – It's like the Rolling Stones rolling up in here, right? I mean, they're going to be all over the country, and everybody's going to go see them, and you're going to get everybody's best game. That's the other part about this. They do have a target on their back because everybody perceives, as we've talked about, like, oh, they didn't cheat. They just spent a lot of money and didn't give a damn about what anybody thought because they're willing to pay the tax on all of this and said, hey, we're going to bring in the best players. And it bugs a lot of people, and it bugs teams, including our Braves fans, that are like, wait a minute, that's something that not right about that.
It just seems like, you know, in the Cubs, there's Japanese stars playing for the teams, but it just seems like there's a roadblock now that you're going to further the Chavez Ravine and the Dodgers, and you're stuck there. I know we had the argument with Tony Gwynn Jr. last week. And by the way, tomorrow we get our first visit with Brett Boone. He joins us as our MLB.
Love Brett Boone as a guest.
We had some really good conversation with him last year, but we talked about it with Smoltzy last week, you know, about a salary cap. It only works if the bottom feeders, like, you know, the regular suspects, A's, Rays, Pirates, their owners actually spend to that minimum. So, yeah, the top 10 payrolls in baseball, we talked about it last week, they account for half of all the money that's spent on players. But, you know, I don't think, you know, the average fan gives a flip. Unless you live in Pittsburgh, Tampa, Oakland, or, you know, one of those teams that just doesn't seem to hold on to their stars as they develop them.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But we're going to see. But the Dodgers certainly have a target on their back.
You know, you still got to win. As you said, if the richest teams, it would be the Yankees and the Dodgers every year in the World Series. But the Dodgers, for years, Dave Roberts couldn't win the big one. Probably got hosed by the Astros the year they were screwing around with the
stealing signs. They got two now.
They got two under Dave Roberts.
Well, listen, the Mets spent all that money, and they're hitting 136 after the first weekend.
Right.
All right.
Like, it's too early to wig out, but it's just an awful way to – I think we can all agree, Carl, it's an awful way to start the season, period.
Grant McCauley's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on this. We'll ask him what he knows as we move forward with this series against the Dodgers. And what's going on with the bullpen? Is Chavez the answer, or is this just trying to figure out how things are going to be with Snit and his decisions on who pitches when? It's Dukes and Bell. All right, Grant, good to have you on. We were hoping for a better weekend. Give me your general take on what you saw this weekend with our Braves, because a lot of Braves fans are feeling some kind of way, and I know you've heard it all weekend. Where are you at with this 0-4 start?
Yeah, I know you guys were talking about this earlier, and with the Braves rolling into Hollywood, I might as well bring it out now. If the Braves were a movie on its opening weekend, few people probably wanted to walk out halfway through. So,
yes.
I don't think it was the opening performance they were looking for, and that is easy to say and very obvious from the results of all four of these games. They had the lead on opening day. It slipped through their fingers. They knocked Dylan Cease out of game two and were unable to get the runs that they needed to avoid a loss. One mistake by the bullpen on the second day, the home run allowed by Dylan Lee, was costly for them. Then over the weekend, the offense went lights out, and not in a good way. They went to a place where we were hoping we wouldn't see them very much this year, just based on the fact that they had healthy main contributors back in there, and obviously you're anticipating bigger and better things when you get Acuna back, but none of that really changed the outcome of this weekend, which was, for all intents and purposes, about as bad as it gets when you're swept in a four-game series. So when the only sample size you have is a bad one, you are who you are, but it doesn't mean the Braves have to stay this way. But it's not going to get any easier rolling into Los Angeles for three games against a Dodgers team that very much is locked and loaded and ready to do big things this year.
Yeah, that's the thing, Grant. I mean, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And as long as this team gets hot, I mean, there's 158 more of these. But it's just for any team to play the Padres and the Dodgers to start the season would be difficult. I mean, if it was Philly, the Mets, anybody. But it just seems like, Hector Neris, he gets DFA'd because that didn't go up so well. But what's a realistic expectation for Chavez for this go-around?
I think that, the expectation for Jesse Chavez should be the same thing that it was for Hector Neris. He should be the eighth man in the bullpen, seventh or eighth man in the bullpen, depending on how you view Jose Suarez. I mean, not a guy that I would have thought, hey, in a one-run game, I want to run this out there and try it. And I understand that, you need to figure out roles for guys. And he's an 11, 12-year veteran now, so it's not like he's never been in a leverage situation. He has been, but with a relative lack of spring training innings, it's kind of baffling to see him have gotten the ball there. And maybe there were reasons for it that we don't know or I don't know. But either way, I mean, from the optics of it, you would think that coming out of spring training and getting ready for that opening day that you would have whoever you needed gassed up and ready to go to secure a victory. And maybe that's one of the things that also bugs people. In fact, I know it is. I'll just skip to the end here with this statement. Mm-hmm. The optics matter. And you want to see that, there's a heightened sense of urgency to win these kind of games. And that's not possible in all 162. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to play both sides of the coin with that. But you just would like to see it because the impression that it can make opening up and getting those wins under your belt, getting off to a much better start than a four-game sweep, was what everybody was looking for, and unfortunately, they got the exact opposite.
All right, positives. Can we talk about any positives out of this series? I mean, we talked about a lot of negatives. Well, look, I'm trying to figure out, who had a good at-bat, something we can build on. I don't know. I just think, everything that we've talked about and everything you look at over these four games, it was like, we could have done better, and I get that. If you are Brian Snicker, what are you telling the guys?
We got 158 more games, and we are who we are, today is our opportunity to turn that around. So, I mean, the Braves do the daily thing about as well as any team, I think, in baseball.
Sure.
And it's pretty evident with their way of getting through the regular season, which is a long grind, a marathon, whatever you want to call it, that denotes the length of it. There are going to be highs and lows. You hate to, stub your toe or whatever you want to call this immediately coming out of spring training and be sitting there 0-4 and, not have a win to your name and not look particularly good on offense. I mean, I did throw this stat out there this morning. I didn't know for sure that Hector Neris was going to get let go, but his ERA with five earned runs in one inning was 45. The rest of the pitching staff is just under 3.5. So pretty good pitching outside of Hector Neris. I guess we could call that a positive. I liked what I saw from Drake Baldwin. I did like that. I do think that he's an intriguing player who's getting an opportunity. I think we should enjoy a lot of what comes with that. But, you know, the hits with runners in scoring position simply weren't there. There was one in the first four games, and that's simply not going to play at that ratio right there. So I think everybody watched it. Everybody has consumed it, and maybe it's just one of those things where you kind of need to have a cutoff point and just say last call for the Padres series for a minute. Let's turn the page and look at the next one. But again, the next one, even though you've got Grant Holmes is going tonight, and then you've got Sale and Lopez going, it is the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's always going to be tough. You're in Chavez Ravine, so we'll see what happens.
I know that we talked about the stolen bases and how they were running on Drake Baldwin. Grant McCauley with us, guys, our visit talking about the Braves getting swept in San Diego. And then even when Trump went in and Baldwin had the day off on Sunday, they ran on Trump. And again, I think you said the pitchers have got to do a better job. So as they get ready for the Dodgers, well, you know, you could argue that they love statistics and analytics. So the Dodgers are going to try to run on the Braves as well.
Yeah, they will. But I do think that Drake Baldwin, you know, showed a better accounting for himself in the next couple of starts. That first one, there were a couple of double steals where, you know, A, they count for two stolen bases, so it makes it look a lot worse because you can't throw to two bases and hope you get one guy. You got to make a decision. And if you're not holding them on and the lead runner is heading to third base, and that's the shorter throw, so that's typically going to be the one you throw down on, and you can't get that guy, that pretty much is a fait accompli that you're going to allow a bunch of steals if they do that a couple of times. But, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers know how to run the bases. They have done that, whether it's Mookie Betts or Shohei Ohtani or even Freddie Freeman stealing some bases out there. So they might get aggressive on it, but I don't think that that was necessarily the undoing for this Braves club. The fact that they hadn't been able to score, hadn't been able to find those answers, those clutch hits of their own, that's what the Braves are looking for. They're going to have to get this offense rolling. It is very difficult to win games when you don't score runs. And the last couple of days, obviously, has been the highest example of that. The Braves have had a lot of trouble with it, and they're going to have to get it turned around.
What should we expect from Grant Holmes? I know he's back home, and that may be a plus because, you know, his energy will be up and his enthusiasm. But, you know, from what we saw last year, what should be the expectation in his first start tonight?
Well, it's interesting that you say back home because it kind of is, but it's sort of not because he's from South Carolina and grew up, you know, in Braves country, Braves fan, but was drafted by the Dodgers in the first round of the 2014 draft and never threw a pitch in the major leagues for them or anybody else until he got to Atlanta last year. So I think it's an interesting story that a decade later he's finally getting to make a start at Dodger Stadium. I don't think that the moment's going to be too big for him. He's thrown some really good games for the Braves, including 30 minutes notice, hey, throw in a do-or-die game for us at the end of last year. So I think he just goes out there and does what he does, which is fill up the strike zone, limit the walks. Obviously, you don't want any more self-inflicted wounds because you've got to get your offense going, so you don't want to give any extra outs or extra base runners away. And we'll see what he can do. But I would anticipate, you know, him going out there and, again, to use that word, show a good accounting of himself because he certainly earned this opportunity, and I'm excited to see what he's able to do with it.
It is our man, Grant McCauley. Grant, now, I know this is a crazy story that we've been trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and, again, we don't know who this reporter is other than he's got over 20,000 followers, and he did work at one time for the Spanish-language broadcast of the Cubbies, but a report about Jurickson Profar testing positive for some substance banned by MLB and would be suspended. I don't know, have you ever heard of Mike Rodriguez in your travels in baseball?
No, I haven't, but I will say that sometimes, especially with the, you know, foreign players, that occasionally a source will pop off in Latin America that you will find that that's a little bit of a pipeline that they're able to get a jump on even the national reporters. And I haven't heard anything about it. The Braves and Jurickson Profar haven't issued any statements about it. If we start to kind of unpack, you know, signing Alex Verdugo at the end of spring training, was that because there's usually a period where you have that test and then you're able to appeal and none of that goes public until that appeal has been heard. And then it's just basically, hey, you know, it is what it is. From my understanding, it can work that way. So I don't have any extra information on this, but I don't need to tell you that would be a stunning loss for the Braves here early in the season if they missed Jurickson Profar for whatever the length of the suspension would be, which I believe at this point is 80 games for the first one. So that would be a pretty rough deal for the Braves and obviously for Jurickson Profar, but I have not heard anything else about it. But since they did sign Verdugo and they did go out and get Stuart Fairchild today, and there's not been a corresponding Move made on the active roster. They put Joe Jimenez on the 60-day IL to open up the 40-man spot. Usually the lineup comes out about 3.5-4 hours before the game. We're not quite there yet because the game's at 10:10 tonight, but we're knocking on the door. Before you guys are off the air, we may have confirmation on this one way or another.
Yeah, it's a good point because that means Profar would not be in the lineup, guys. Grant, he's 41. Like, what's Jesse coming back? And listen, we make jokes and everybody has fun with it, but he is beloved in this clubhouse, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he absolutely is. And he's pitched some of his best baseball in a Braves uniform. And I talked about this on From the Diamond on Sunday. I mean, Father Time is undefeated. You know, there will be a point where Jesse Chavez is going to hang him up and not re-sign with the Atlanta Braves 30 days later. It's just going to be a career for him. But if it is, whatever the case is, however it winds up, I mean, he wrote quite a few great chapters for himself here with the Braves, and I think they're just looking for somebody who can give them consistency, give them the presence that he does have. And I know people joke about that for veterans. Well, how much can you really offer? But that continuity and that stuff in that clubhouse is valuable on the intangible side, and Jesse has that in spades. So that's why he keeps getting these opportunities. It's not just, hey, you know, we're just taking a chance on some guy and he's old. It's, hey, we're taking a chance on a guy that we know that has pitched well in this uniform and also is a great teammate. It all adds up to that opportunity for him. And again, hopefully he can make the most of that and just help out where they need it, which sometimes can be as simple as coming in a 3-run game and not giving up any more damage. Hector Neris was given that job last night and wasn't able to come through there. So that could be it.
All right, Grant, what do you know about these new bats that everybody's got to have? And needless to say, we had a lot of Braves fans going, we got to get them newfangled bats the Yankees are using. Needless to say, they were used last year, but no one noticed, and the Yankees put on a crazy display. Is there a specific type of hitter? Because we did see Goldschmidt use it, Chaz Chambliss is using it. It seems like it definitely helps people get the barrel where you need it on the ball.
Yeah, I saw that Chisholm and Anthony Volpe and Cody Bellinger were using it. Every Yankee wasn't necessarily. And I guess they can kind of retrofit the barrel based on the information that they get on the hitter. And Volpe was the one that they talked about in the Yankee broadcast, which was, hey, they just found out that he just keeps getting jammed. So instead of, you know, working on your stance, moving your feet, or changing your swing, we'll just move the barrel of the bat down toward the middle so that when you do get jammed, there's more wood there so that you can hit it more squarely. That sounds like some galaxy brain thinking to me, but I'm not paid to make those decisions. But obviously, you know, if they can find an advantage that is within the letter of the law, which this is,
right,
they're going to take advantage of that. So the Braves have put in an order of those that was brought up last night during the game by Buster Olney, that some of these are going to be, I don't know if they're arriving in L.A., or if they're heading to Atlanta, but they definitely, whatever they're swinging, have got to make some better contact and do some things. So we'll see if the torpedo bat is the answer to that. Though I would say it has a lot more to do with the guy swinging it than what exactly you're swinging.
To me, Carl, to call it a torpedo bat, Grant, it's more like the old, remember the softball bats? You know, remember they have like the big barrels on the softball bats? That's basically what it looks
like. Bowling pin.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But either way, but you know how it is, man. In baseball, there's no – people see something like that and they freak out. It's within the confines because the biggest concern is about the weight of the bat, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are rules about how much it can weigh and what the length of the bat is, but there's also rules for the diameter of how wide it can be. And also, if you see the end where they kind of hollow it out, that can only be to a certain distance as well, or a certain depth, I should say, as well. So they've got all kinds of rules, and apparently these bats fall within those parameters. Nobody said that the largest part of the bat has to be at the furthest end.
Yeah, they are they are working around. This is a workaround, right? That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Grant, great job, man. We'll see what we do against these Dodgers. Hopefully we hit, and that's really what it comes down to. It doesn't matter how good you pitch. Yeah. We've got to score some runs. Thanks again, man. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, hey, before I go, I do want to let you know the two movies that I've walked out on.
Oh, yeah, give it to us. Give it to us.
Spider-Man 3, the Sam Raimi one, terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And Monuments Men, one of the worst movies I've ever seen 40 minutes of.
That's a good call.
I was so excited about Monuments Men because I know the story, and that movie had no idea what it wanted to be.
That's a good call.
It just didn't know what it wanted to be.
It was awful.
They tried to squeeze like three genres into one film in that one. You're right.
Spider-Man 3, what are we talking about? Which one?
We were talking about triple villains, the second Green Goblin, Sandman. Mm. You also had the Bizarro Spider-Man because he had the symbiote. So they were working Venom into the mix. The whole thing was a giant mess. The studio interfered with it, basically. And, you know, just all kinds of good things happen when the studio interferes. We all know that.
All right, Grant.
Yeah.
Jeff Passan has just confirmed this about Profar.
Oh, snap.
There you go. There you go. So bad news for the Braves and bad news for Jerkson Profar.
All right. He will be or has been suspended for 80 games.
Oh, man.
So we just literally before we're about to cut you loose, Jeff Passan has confirmed this report that Mike and I discussed, and we said it was rumor. If, in fact, it turned out to be true, we needed confirmation, and we wanted credible sources to make sure that we knew what was going on. And so Jeff Passan has made the calls. We were trying to talk about this in a way that made sure that we told you guys it was just a rumor. But Jeff Passan's one of the top baseball guys, and certainly, Grant, we were saying, you know, we wanted to wait and see what happened. So, obviously, Grant told you, he probably will not be in the lineup tonight, unfortunately, and now this is where we're at. So, thank you so much, Grant. You have a thought or two or anything you want to say before we let you go?
Yeah, obviously, for the Braves, this was a hedge to really round out their outfield and also help them without Ronald Acuña Jr. for this first month, and all of that has gone out the window. We'll see what Profar looks like when he returns from this, which should be this season, but clearly a black eye for him and unfortunate for the Braves, who ponied up on a 3-year contract, hoping that a guy coming off a career year was going to be that guy moving forward. Now I think all of that is fair to question.
And Grant, I remember asking you when the signing went down, I said, why were other Major League Baseball teams lukewarm on Profar? I know a guy who's taken a while to find his, pardon the pun, juice. Do you think there, in baseball circles, there would have been maybe some rumors about this?
No, I doubt it was that. I think it was more of the, he's only done it for 1 year. We want to see more of a track record to get a big multi-year contract. I mean, he got a manageable deal from the Braves. It's not an albatross, but when you throw a PED suspension into the mix, obviously that creates a whole different series of questions that the Braves will have to deal with internally and externally as well. But I don't think this was why he didn't have a deal until later in the offseason. I think it was more of the, is he a one-year wonder or not? Do we trust it?
Jerkson Profar suspended for 80 games for violating MLB's PED policy. Sources have confirmed to Jeff Passan. Mike Deportes was the first guy to report this, and Mike and I discussed this earlier this hour. Mike Rodriguez is his name, and we wanted to be careful because
I'm familiar with him.
Well, nobody else was reporting it except him, and you always want to make sure that we're trying to be right on this show when we give you this information, especially when it comes to our team. So that is the latest. Let me ask you this before we let you go. Grant McCauley joining us, our Major League Baseball guy here, covers the Braves, covers MLB, and he said, we got to wait to see what's being said. The Braves have not confirmed this, but again, sources have told Jeff Passan at MLB that this is happening. Who gets the first crack off the bench, in your opinion, now that you start talking about how the Braves maneuver this as far until Acuña comes back?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've got Jared Kelnick and Brian De La Cruz, and those guys could play either corner. Clearly, neither of those have the all-star pedigree that Profar was supposed to be bringing to the table. You do have Ronald Acuña Jr. still, I would say, a month away conservatively and probably a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, you could look at Alex Verdugo, perhaps, if he's up to speed and they feel like he could get into this mix of being somebody that they call on within the next few weeks. And then, obviously, Stuart Fairchild, who they picked up from the Reds, who's a pretty good defensive outfielder, not a big bat, but just more depth. You could just be looking at a platoon situation depending on which way they want to slice it. But none of that sounds as attractive as signing an all-star left fielder to a 3-year contract before the year. So, all of it, I guess, in some ways, is going to feel like half measures from this point on.
Braves have released a statement, Grant, and I know you're going to get on this. We this is from the Braves now. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. Jerkson Profar suspended for 80 games for violating the MLB's PED policy. Sources have confirmed. Braves statement reads, "We were surprised and extremely disappointed to learn that Profar tested positive for a performance-enhancing substance in violation of Major League Baseball's Joint Prevention and Treatment Program. We fully support the program and are hopeful that he will learn from this experience." That is from the Braves just moments ago. So he's out of the lineup. We're playing arguably the best team in the majors and the Dodgers, who are 5-0 tonight, started a 3-game series before coming back home, and this is just something else to deal with. Grant, I know you got to run. We appreciate you hanging around and talking with us about this because we wondered where this might go, and now we know it's been confirmed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I'm sure we'll talk more tomorrow.
Absolutely. Mm. All right, that's Grant McCauley.
I mean, to start the season getting swept by San Diego and a guy you felt pretty good about holding down the fort until Acuña comes back is now done for half the season. Well, it can only get better, Carl.
So he tested positive for a PED called HGC. CG. HCG. That's what he was suspended for. And by the way, those 80 games, no pay. We're coming back. More on this breaking story with the Braves outfielder Jurickson Profar being suspended for 80 games.
Yeah, this is stuff bodybuilders take.
All right.
It's basically, if I remember correctly, Oren, it's something from like women and involving the placenta.
It is.
During pregnancy. There you go.
It is. All right, we're coming back.
All righty,
stay right there. This breaking news, we got more on it. It's Dukes and Bell.